a couple of children jokes that I found. A sincere prayer of Sue, 85. Dear God, thank you so much for the baby brother, but you know I prayed for a puppy. The other one, children were lined up in a cafeteria of a church elementary school for lunch. At the head of the table was the large pile of apples, and a teacher written a note and posted on the apple tray saying, "Take only one. God is watching." At the end of the table was a large pile of chocolate chip cookies, and a child wrote a note and posted on the tray saying, "Take all you want, because God is watching the apples." Today's the Transfiguration Sunday that we are recognize and celebrate Jesus Christ transfiguration on a mountain. And the transfiguration of Jesus Christ was able to record it in the book of Gospel because three disciples witnessed that transfiguration. Do you know who they are? Peter, James, and John. They were able to witness this great, amazing event. And then probably they told the other disciples later. That's why we have this record of transfiguration of Jesus Christ in the book of Gospel. But the purpose of that transfiguration is important. Why Jesus Christ transfigured in front of the disciples? Why? What would be the purpose of his transfiguration? I don't know. But one thing I know is that Jesus did not show off to his disciples that he's a divine being. It's a joke, okay? He did not really show off his transfiguration. I'm sure there was a specific purpose of transfiguration. Maybe. Give disciples an opportunity to witness this amazing experience so that they are able to develop their faith strong in Christ Jesus before they are heading to the cross. Key is here. Before heading to the cross. We are celebrating this special Sunday right before the Lenten season. This Wednesday starts the Lenten season. And we are celebrating this special Sunday of Transfiguration. You know, in the Bible, in many times we can find many examples of God's amazing works happening. But before that amazing work, God showed God's people divine power and authority so that God's people be able to get strong in faith. This Transfiguration Sunday is one example that Jesus Christ heading to the cross. And then disciples needed some sort of booster shot to follow Jesus Christ on the cross. In the same way, the Pentecost, when the Pentecost happened, where Jesus Christ commissioned his disciples to spread the good news. At the upper room, God poured out the Holy Spirit upon disciples. The disciples were able to experience this divine power and authority before they courageously stood before people to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. So this amazing turning point, right before the turning point, God showed divine power and authority to boost God's people. Today, I would like to continue to talk about the divine power and authority that transform the faith of God's people. The choice of God. The choice of God. Remember last Sunday that we talked about Apostle Paul's declaration that we are the God's chosen ones. We are God's chosen ones. Isn't that amazing? When the disciples met resurrected Jesus Christ and received a great commission to spread the good news, one thing they struggled. One of the things they really struggled for disciples was how far this gospel should go. In the beginning, the disciples believed that this good news only limited to Jewish people. The good news of Jesus Christ was, they thought, they understood as just limited to Jewish people. They thought that they are the only chosen ones. But Peter and other disciples, of course, and Apostle Paul received a message from Jesus Christ that God expand God's plan to the world. It's not just limited to Jewish people, but expand horizon to the world. John 3:16, what it says? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, listen, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's not just Jewish people. Whoever believes in him. So once disciples realized that God expand the horizon, God expand God's plan to the world, they start working on it. They start to realize, discern, what is the choice of God. They realize that God's choice expand to Gentiles. And that was the really turning point of disciples, that we can find out in a book of Acts that we are reading this week. Book of Acts we are reading this week. Okay? Isn't that amazing? God expand God's plan. God expand God's choice to us. But 2,000 years later, sadly, somewhat sadly, Christian communities still struggling this question. How far should we go? Where's the line? Where is the line that God drew? Still struggling to find out. And furthermore, am I in or out? In or out? Okay, in and out for lunch, Juliana. At As I prepare this sermon for today, I almost make a different title of the sermon. Which side is God on? Which side is God on? We're still struggling with this, where is the line of God? And where am I? Where God is on? So which side is God on? A lot of people these days trying to show that God is on my side. God is on my side. One example I'm going to share, it's a kind of sensitive, but I'm going to share. A former president, I don't want to name who, took a photo shot in front of the church building holding a Bible. I think he was trying to project the message that God is on my side. Maybe he was trying to get conservative group support. God is on your side and God is my side. We are together. Looking at what the Pharisees and scribes in the gospel, they did the same thing. Using their power and authority and privilege, even self-righteousness, they project people that God was on their side. So, whose side is God on? Whose side is God on? Speaking about a former president, on the news yesterday that President Jimmy Carter was admitted to the hospice care. I don't know about you, but President Jimmy Carter has been an amazing figure for so many people these days, because what he did after the presidency, not during his presidency. I mean, right? He was not that popular when he took the office, and he lost his second presidential election, right? But the amazing thing is that after that, he has been doing very unique and special that he was not able to do during his presidency. He's working with Habitat of Humanity, that kind of things, building houses, helping people. And he got Nobel Peace Prize, right? So basically, compared to other official figures, I think President Jimmy Carter was trying to be on God's side, not make God on my side. So whose side is God on? Maybe we all already knew about the answer. Wouldn't God be on the side of those who are marginalized, discriminated against, poor, sick, weak, that the society treat them as a loser, sinner? In the gospel, Jesus Christ clearly showed that that's what God's side looks like. God is on this side. And Jesus Christ himself showed which side is God on. Was the choice of Jesus Christ, right? Good, perfect. The choice of Jesus Christ. The choice of our God. Considering God's choice, let's talk briefly about choice of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ picked 12 disciples out of so many followers. Only picked 12 special disciples. But think about all these 12 disciples. Based on the measure and standard of this world, do you think Jesus Christ picked the right ones? Perfect ones? He picked like a president selecting the cabinet. But I'm not sure whether Jesus Christ picked the right and good ones. I mean, think about it. Number one disciple, the best, Peter, right? Based on all the stories recorded in the gospel, he obviously had temper. He was very aggressive with so many things. Even when Jesus walked on the water, he's the only one asked Jesus to make him walk on the water. And then he was able to walk a few steps and then fall in water, and Jesus rescued him. He was the only one who grabbed Jesus Christ, set aside, and rebuked him. You know why he rebuked him? Because Jesus said that he's gonna take the cross and die. When Jesus told disciples that he would die on the cross, and Peter took him aside and said, "Don't do it." That's Peter. Even we know when Jesus got arrested, he cut the high priest servant Malchus' ear with his sword. Very temper. The worst part of Peter, of course, he denied 3 times while Jesus was on trial. He denied. Peter, Jesus' number one pick, so-called the best disciple. He was not perfect. He was not really that good. But somehow, Jesus picked him. What about James and John, the son of Zebedee? They actually tried to take advantage of Jesus Christ for their own benefit. They figured that when Jesus took the power and became the king of Israel, then I want to be the secretary of state. You're going to be secretary of defense using the authority and power of Jesus Christ. So that's why they ask with their mom, ask Jesus, "I want you to do it, whatever we want to ask you to do it," in Matthew chapter 20. Isn't that amazing? But somehow Jesus picked them as the disciples. What about doubting Thomas? Even worse, what about Judas? They are the ones, it's not really perfect, but Jesus Christ picked as the disciples. Think about God's choice. After I preached last Sunday, one question kept ringing in my mind was, what about you? We are the one, God chosen ones, so proud, but why? Why me? Why God picked me? I know it's good looking, but you know, why God picked me? I have so many brokenness. It's not perfect. Yet a little bit humble. But somehow God picked me. The scripture we read today, 1 Corinthians chapter 27 and 28 is this. But God chose what is foolish in the world. What is foolish in the world? That's what God picked. To shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world. To shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, the things that are not, to abolish things that are. Isn't that amazing? God chose, specifically, purposefully chose. You know, this chose word is the same word when Jesus Christ chose his disciples. It's the same word. Elekomhai. Elekomhai. That's the choice of God. What about us? My brothers and sisters in Christ, what's our choice? Are we go with God's choice or our own choice? I read an article, I don't know who wrote this, but like this. One day we will stand before God and tell what we have done, what we have achieved. That's right. We can say that we have built a huge bridges across the sea, built a huge building that peers in the sky. We went down the bottom of the sea in a submarine and created so many novelty with our scientific and technology and capability. Do you think that's what God wants us to do? And then the article goes, quoted in Matthew, I was hungry and you did not feed me. I was naked and you did not clothe me. I didn't have a clean house, but you did give me a place to live. You did not give me a place to live. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 to 40, think about God's choice. Then the king will say to those who at the right hand, the chosen one, come, who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, please listen to this, just as you did to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine. Of mine. You did it to me. My brothers and sisters in Christ, that's God's choice. That's God's choice. That's God's choice that called us and named us as God's children. Let's not forget whom God picked. God's choice for you and me. Not because we are strong and handsome, but we are weak and we are broken ones. That's why God called us and picked us. Amazing God, isn't it? Amazing God. How great thou art! How great thou art! Let us pray. Amazing God, we thank you for your message today. Many times, God, this world treated us broken ones, not enough. But God, you called us. You picked us. You chose us. God, we thank you. And with the message that you encourage us to be confident in you, help us, God, to live out in this world with the faith that you've given us. Help us to be confident as God's chosen ones to live out, to transform this world. God, help us as we start the Lenten season, help us to discern, continue to discern who we are and to continue to follow your direction, your guidance. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand for closing hymn?